Welcome back to the Hallmarkies podcast. Today we are back covering Heartland seasons 6 episodes 1 through 3. I am Amy and I'm back, and today I'm here with my lovely co-host Michelle.
Hi everyone, welcome back Amy.
Thank you. Been a couple months. I've been working on school and finishing up my teaching credential, so I'm officially a teacher. Now that that is all finished and I can finally start getting back to the podcast, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I'm excited because you obviously, we've definitely missed you in terms of like just history of the show and just like behind the scenes things that I was like, oh, Amy would know this.
I'm really glad I'm back specifically for these 3 episodes, because I don't know if you remember, this was a long time ago, but I'll talk about it more when we get into the episode. There was an episode, oh gosh, it must have been in season 1, that I said, oh, this reminds me a lot of something that happens in season 6 on an episode. So we'll talk about that a little today. All right, but let's just jump right into it. Episode 1 of season 6, Running Against the Wind. So this episode is all about, well, the start back to, I forgot the end of season 5 because I haven't been watching. I've been very busy, but I forgot the end of season 5. We had the almost proposal.
Yeah.
So we start out with a new horse though at Heartland. Phoenix Rising starting out, jumping over that fence. What did you think of that horse, Michelle?
A gorgeous horse, absolutely gorgeous horse. And I really like this whole plot with Phoenix. Mm-hmm. I think this show is really, really good at exploring sort of the gray areas of you know, having animals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
people definitely. That, you know, are trying to do the best, but you know the outcome isn't, you know, pleasant. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought this was really handled really well, because it would be easy to just sort of paint this woman as a villain and the show doesn't go there.
Yeah, and I think it also has a testament a little bit to the fact that you need to take care of yourself,
mm-hmm,
before you can care for others type of thing, because yeah, she wasn't taking care of herself necessarily, and that was impacting her taking care of her animals, and that definitely goes for pets as well as people. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but definitely they didn't paint her as a villain. They painted her as someone who needed help, mm-hmm, needed people. So yeah, and then also the parallels between Phoenix and between our new character Georgie as well, yeah, was really great. So we have the new horse Phoenix. He is jumping over fences everywhere. I don't know if you thought this, Michelle, but the first time I watched this episode, I thought it was Ghost again.
Oh, yeah. I did have to look twice because he does have like a few little markings.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, we just had Ghost. He was just like a spiritual version of Ghost last season with Ty again. So
yeah, at first I was like, oh, not Ghost again. But I was like, oh, wait, different horse. Okay, we're good. Yeah, so we have the jumper Phoenix going on, and then we have Amy and Ty's little problem. So Amy found the ring at the end of last episode, and we're under the impression that it has been months.
Yeah, 3 months, I think she said.
So what did you think of that?
You know, last episode we were discussing it and I was like, I'm so over this, and I think it was just residual of like Caleb and Ashley, and I was like, I don't want to go through this again. But this is very different. They have known each other a long time, they are very young, but we have seen their entire relationship develop up to this point, so it is a different situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a good way to end the season. I mean, it made sense for Ty where he was at that point after the accident they'd been in, but I feel like as we pick up, they're both in such different places.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly Ty, And I guess, I mean, getting engaged doesn't mean that they're getting married the next day. So, you know, an engagement wouldn't be like a massive, massive deal. But in TV land, it does mean that they need to get married fairly quickly after that. But
yeah,
it just felt, it felt a little dragged out in these episodes, but I'm glad it was contained to these three episodes. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we just kind of move forward now. But yeah, I was worried coming into the season that I was going to hate it, but I didn't. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely agree. And they're, like you said, they're both in such different places right now. But I think the fact that it hadn't, I mean, obviously it was for the season's reasons or whatever, but it's been months and Amy hadn't said anything to anybody.
Yeah. I'm more amazed that like Lou hasn't said anything.
Yeah, he's like exactly.
The worst at secrets. So yeah.
Yeah. So Lou goes in and just tells Ty, she's like, Amy's ready, just do it.
Yeah.
What did you think of Lou meddling in this
proposal? I'm surprised she's so for it, given that they are both so young.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like, you know, Lou has, you know, developed quite a lot these last few years. I feel like season one Lou would not be for this whatsoever.
Oh yeah, season one Lou is a very different Lou from this Lou. Because you know, you think season one Lou couldn't even cook, and now we're missing a lasagna, so very different, very different people. So with Lou, speaking of Lou, we have Lou and Peter, they're working on the house. So what do you think about this house?
Over in Lou's house, like I feel like this has been growing for seasons, like
mm-hmm.
from the second they got married, you know, we went back and forth on them finding places, you know, living there a very short time and then moving back to Heartland and then, you know, Dubai, and it just feels exhausting. Mm-hmm. And I really wish they had just followed through with building their own place, like to like dig a whole foundation and just go, oh, we'll just buy the house down the road. And it's like, oh my god, like, just find a place to live, you know, or you know, extend Heartland, or you know, do whatever. But it just felt like such a bad idea. You know, we knew the condition of that house, and it was just going to be such a money pit. We knew that, and it feels like way too smart to like. I mean, I guess Peter was not the most excited, but
yeah,
for them just to sort of dig their way out of their money troubles and then buy a house that's a money pit just seems a little insane.
Yeah, and at this point, like, how many different ideas have there been of where these two are going to live? Like,
that's why, like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I'm like, just stay at Heartland at this point. Like,
yeah, just stay there.
Just okay. So the house is definitely a money pit. So, but then we have Georgie. So we have this little girl who appears and is kind of running around Heartland, mm-hmm. hiding up in the loft. She's stealing lasagna. I think the one scene that really scared me about the whole Georgie running around thing, though, is I didn't realize that there was a door in Katie's nursery until this episode.
Yeah, that feels like that should be, like, boarded up or, like...
like
really like secured.
Yeah, or that should be one of the girls' rooms. Like Amy or Lou should have moved into that room because there is a door in that room and not a baby's room. I just imagine, you know, she's in a toddler bed someday or whatever and she just gets up and walks out.
Yeah, I would not be able to sleep in that room. There's no chance.
Yeah. And the thing is, Peter was like, oh, was the door not secured or something? And she's like, it was. But the thing is, for Georgie to have gone in and out of that door, it would have had to have been unlocked. So is there no lock on that door?
Yeah, that's scary.
That's like, ooh, okay, that's really scary. And then we have, you know, runaway casserole or lasagnas and... all this other stuff. But then the thing I was talking about that kind of paralleled with the season one episode where Lou was getting engaged, or mm-hmm. the man from New York wanted to propose, but Mallory stole the ring.
Ah.
And so I was thinking about, oh, this kind of, when we did that episode back in the day, I was like, oh, this kind of reminds me of when Amy and, well, I didn't say that because I didn't want to spoil you guys, but when Amy and Ty got engaged, because the new little girl in town, there are a lot of parallels between Mallory and Georgie in future seasons.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, that reminds me so much of what happened in this episode with Georgie with the ring and everything. So what did you think about Georgie and the ring?
Yeah, I could sort of see it coming, and I was surprised she didn't take the ring sooner. Like, when he first went to get the ring, I was like, oh, that's going to be gone. But yeah, it wasn't a surprise, and I did kind of, I was really nervous because I've obviously followed the actress on like social media and things for like a year, mm-hmm. Just when we started covering the show, so I knew that she was going to be like a big character and a character that's still in the show. So I was a little nervous, especially because I just did not take to Shane. And I think when you introduce a kid character, uh-huh. it's so difficult, especially watching as an adult. But I thought she was a great little actress. And I thought he did a really good job. And I feel like if Mallory, you know, is grown up and not going to be involved as much going forward, I think a show like this really needs a kid.
Uh-huh.
And and just judging off of these three episodes, I think Georgie, you know, was a huge success, you know, right off the bat. And particularly with Jack, I think he really needs, the actor just really needs to bounce off of a kid. I think his best character traits show when that happens.
Yeah, definitely. And I also like that when Jack is around the kids, and specifically what's going to happen with Georgie and everything, we do get to see that bit, because you think about it, Jack was such a, it was really just Jack and then Amy and Lou's mom raising them. We get to see a little bit of what that was probably like with Jack helping raise the girls.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. He's such a like natural caregiver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Shows in these episodes.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, Georgie at this point, she's 11 years old. So we have, you know, the young new kid that we have. And Georgie forms a bond with Phoenix and this new horse. And Georgie, what did you think of Georgie's attachment and the parallels between Georgie's life and Phoenix's life?
I thought it was handled really well. And, you know, I think it's sort of a great indication of what's to come mm-hmm. in terms of just her relationship with animals. Like, she had a connection right away. Mm-hmm. And I think you can tell a lot about a person with how they treat animals, how they connect with animals, how they bond with animals. I think that, you know, I know just personally, you know, when you connect with an animal, it's, you can really tell a lot about a person. And I think that Jack definitely saw that. And he also saw if he keeps the horse, he can keep a handle on this girl a little bit easier.
Yeah, they call Clint. Clint's back.
Clint's back.
Yeah, Clint's back. And we find out that George... Sorry?
Whenever there's like a problem child, he like shows up.
Yeah. I wonder if Jack has Clint on speed dial.
Yeah, probably at this point.
So we find out that Georgie has been in the foster care system since she was 3. And she, when she's in the barn at one point, she does call her older brother. So we know she has an older sibling, and she's been in the foster care system for majority of her life at this point. When Clint tries to take her, she has a death wish.
Yeah. Yeah. That horse is like huge compared to her. Like huge.
Like this tiny little girl, this giant horse, and they're just running away. So we know we have Clint back, and for a little bit at least. Also in this episode, we were missing a couple people. All we heard about Caleb was that he was off, I think I said who knows where, and is still making Ty pay rent. So where is Caleb at this point?
He'll probably come back and they'll be on tour at some point. making money. He'll come back for his job. I'm assuming that he's off doing his you know, what do you call it? What does he call it? Is it different his tours that he goes on?
Rodeo.
Rodeo or whatever one in Bronx or whatever one it is he's doing. It changes every couple episodes.
Yeah.
He tries a different one.
Exactly. Last season, because I didn't film record with you guys, Ashley's gone now at this point, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I was just double checking. This wasn't still the honeymoon, but I think that was season 5.
Yeah, he sort of left and tried to get her back and it didn't work and he came back on his own.
All right. So what did you think of this episode? What would you rate it?
I would give it like a solid 7. I feel like it's just sort of place setting. There's nothing bad about the episode, but yeah, I just felt like it was just sort of setting up the season.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with you on that. See, 7 sounds about good. It was setting up the season, and I do like it was a really good introduction, I think, to the new character, to a new child character. I think they did a really good job.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this a little bit more. Move on to episode 2, Crossed Signals.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
All right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So we start out with Ty's surprise that Amy knew he'd been trying to propose for months, which I still think is hilarious. It was months before she said anything. And they get in a big piff. They have these frustrations. Amy takes her frustrations out, not only on Ty, but on Lou and Jack. What did you think about Amy in this episode?
She was a little frustrated in this episode. I feel like once the cat's out the bag, I feel like they just didn't really have a proper conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was really hard for me as like a viewer to understand what it is she wanted Ty to do. I was like, does she want him to propose? Would she say yes?
See, like, that's the thing. We don't even know if she would have said yes at this point. Like,
yeah, that's the thing. And it's like, we know at the end of last season she probably wouldn't have said yes.
Mm-hmm.
She does say, you know, she doesn't want things to sort of tie her down, and you know, Ty's, you know, got this big future planned as a vet, mm-hmm. and that's still, you know, in the very beginning. So it just seems confusing to not know what the main character wants.
Yeah, she's very much a kind of she doesn't really have a path right now, it seems like.
Yeah,
for Amy. But yeah, she's getting angry at everybody. She snaps at Lou, snaps at Jack, and then Ty's out of the loft again. He's back in the trailer because of him and Amy's fight. And then we also have Tim. Oh, we didn't talk about Tim and his Buff Burger in the last episode. Tim was trying to franchise a fast food restaurant.
Of course he is.
What else would you expect from Tim? Like, really?
Actually, you know, he frustrates me so much, but I actually kind of liked him in these episodes because he was in more of a comedic sort of position, and I feel like that's where I liked him the best.
Yeah.
Anything else, it just drives me insane.
So now Tim finds out that Ty was going to propose, and he's hurt because, you know, Peter asked Grandpa Jack, Ty asks Grandpa Jack. Mm-hmm. And Tim says no. He just is like, no. He's so dramatic.
Yeah.
What do you think of Tim's hurt throughout this?
I mean, on one hand, you know, I understand he would want to be asked, but in the same, I understand why Ty wouldn't go to him, because they don't really have much of a relationship. You know, any scenes that they've sort of had, it's been sort of group scenes. I don't really recall many scenes of them, you know, one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have, they've been very sort of tense, and, you know, Tim's not, you know, they haven't really been, you know, mentorship in the way that, you know, his scenes with Jack have been.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I can understand why Ty would just, like, go to Jack.
Yeah, exactly. They have a better relationship, and also Tim can just be scary at times.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, Tim has a better relationship with Caleb than mm-hmm. he does with Ty.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. So then we have Ty again trying to explain to Amy why he didn't propose that night because of what she said. You know, she was not, she didn't want to be tied down. She said things along those lines. So what did you think of that and Ty's little explanation?
Again, I can understand it if it was like, you know, it happened on the weekend and this conversation was happening midweek, but like 3 months later, mm-hmm. it just feels so dragged out and really unbelievable that they just wouldn't have this conversation sooner. Mm-hmm. And it feels like we get so many different little conversations. It could have just been one conversation.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're kind of storming off, or the scene just ends and then we pick up later. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess that's the way TV goes, but it just felt really frustrating, again, because I just didn't know what either of them wanted as an outcome. I didn't know if either of them wanted to get engaged. I was like,
Exactly. And then there's all this fighting. And then Ty proposes in the loft. And Amy's like, no, it's not special.
Like, her expression was so bizarre as well. It was like, she was smiling, but she was like, no.
I was like, she kind of looked like she was in happy, but like in pain at the same time.
I was like, that was a weird scene.
It was such a weird scene.
I guess she didn't want to like come off as like mad, but also it just, it was weird the way she was just sort of smiling at him all the way through doing that, and then just like wanting something special.
Yeah, and then she laughs. She like storms out laughing. I'm like, you just killed this guy's confidence, first of all.
Yeah, he's not going to be proposing anytime soon.
Yeah. And then she's like, oh, I want to wait.
What? Yeah. Yeah, we're waiting like 3 months at this point.
Yeah, so Ty and Amy are just both fickle at this point.
Ian, I mean, he did take her to the restaurant. He did try to make it special. So it's like the effort was already there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So aside from the Ty and Amy drama, because that took up a ton of this episode, we do have Phoenix's owner, Kendra, who we talked a little bit about earlier. She comes back to take over Phoenix, or Blue Sky. Was that his name that was from?
I think it was just Sky.
Sky, yeah. So she wants to take Phoenix back, and Georgie, when she comes to get Phoenix, sneaks into the horse trailer and goes back with him to Kendra's ranch. And we find a pretty awful sight at Kendra's barn. For a kid like Georgie, who, I mean, horses now, she's been around horses probably, what, a week now for her life. And to see something like that, I liked the way that she specifically asked Amy about it, because you could tell from Georgie's point of view, she didn't know how horses are supposed to be raised or taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's different from, definitely, it's on a grander scale, different from taking care of a dog or a cat, a horse, a lot more space, a lot more things required. So what did you think of all that, and how Georgie Georgie approached Amy about that situation.
Yeah, I liked it. I really thought that scene was going to end with her not saying anything to Amy. And I liked the way it was really well written. Because, yeah, she just wouldn't know. And, you know, I think even as a kid, she had instincts that, like, this isn't right. And I liked that she's sort of investigated it. And I also liked that she, even though it was really dangerous, went with the horse. Because it feels like that is something that Amy would do. Like in earlier seasons, I feel like we've seen her and Ty do as reckless things, so it felt like believable that, you know, as a kid that she would do that.
Yeah, exactly. This is totally a Ty and Amy thing that they would do. So Amy goes over to Kendra's, confronts her about it, and Phoenix escapes once again. So Phoenix is back at Heartland again. So we learn a little bit about Kendra and her background. Her and her husband used to raise horses, sell horses. And when he passed, she just kind of really gave up and hooked on to the horses at the same time, keeping them all very cooped up. She really wasn't running the business anymore. In very unsafe and unsanitary conditions for the horses in her barn. And so I think Amy, you know, Amy in this episode was frustrating with the whole Ty thing. I think in this episode that she did a really good job talking with Kendra and confronting her about it. So what did you think about that?
Yeah, I thought that was handled really well. And I liked that they sort of dropped in the sort of information that they were sort of hurt by the recession as well. And that just adds an extra layer of, like, Amy's probably interacted with a lot of, you know, ranch owners that have, you know, went through the same thing. And I like that they sort of brought up the fact that she was an animal hoarder, which I don't think is necessarily what was going on here. And I think this was just her animals. I don't think she was necessarily adding to those, but she was keeping them in a sort of hoarding, you know, sort of way.
Yeah.
Keeping them all sort of cramped, and that's, you know, a very difficult psychological thing that a lot of people suffer from. And I like that Amy was very understanding and very, like, just let me help you approach, as opposed to, like, sort of, you know, calling the authorities and doing all of that. You know, Amy was willing to take some horses to really help this woman out, and I really liked the way it was handled.
Yeah, I agree. Me too. And Kendra agrees to give ownership of Phoenix to Heartland, and this is really happy, makes Georgie extremely happy. So now we have Phoenix for Georgie at the ranch, which is awesome.
Yeah, he's a bit big for her, but yeah, she'll grow into him.
Yeah, she'll grow into him. So while all this is going on, we also have Lou and Peter. Lou and Peter's relationship at this point frustrates me so much.
That's like, crazy.
Yeah. But in this episode, we
it
have
just
a little.
Frustrates me.
Sorry, go ahead.
It just frustrates me so much that we're back to where they were, like, in season 4.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're literally back where they were, like, having the same problems. It's so annoying.
Yeah, exactly. So we have with Katie now, they think Katie has fleas, and Lou blames the dog, or blames Lobo for the fleas, but it's actually lice from daycare. And it's just funny how overboard Lou goes with the lice, you know.
Yeah.
And then we have, of course, Grandpa Tim babysitting. Katie and Georgie, and that was a fun little scene. Them sitting on the couch with the chips and Katie in a towel because she couldn't find the diapers.
Yeah, that was such a fun scene. I feel like it was perfectly sort of balanced, Lou, in this episode, because I feel like had this been going on like multiple episodes, I would have just kind of lost interest. But I feel like they used it to the sort of proper sort of comedic effect, as opposed to her just sort of, I mean, she was a little unfair to Lobo, her dog. But yeah, it just feels, she just went completely over the top. It's yeah. Like, most like parents deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very real thing that, you know, you'll probably have to deal with again if you have more kids, but yeah.
Yeah, if you send your kid to any type of school, there's like a very good chance your kid is going to get lice at least once. Like, it just, it happens all the time. Like, working in schools, I know it happens, lice, it just happens with kids. It happens all the time. And it, you know, it's just something you have to learn how to deal with and get the right shampoo for. Like, really, that's it. So, yeah, it happens all the time. But yeah, I think it was funny though that she blamed Lobo at first, the dog, for fleas. But the thing is, it's like Amy literally sleeps with the dog. If the dog had fleas, Amy would be covered in bites.
Yeah,
or her room. Like, it would have been Amy and Georgie before Katie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I just thought that was really funny. Yeah, but all in all, what did you think of this episode? What would you give it?
I would give it like a 7.5. Yeah, it was pretty good. Or maybe like an 8. I'd give it an 8 because I did really like the sort of B plot with Phoenix and his owner.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to give it a 7.5. I really liked the B plot with this and some of the fun stuff with Tim and Lou, but the Amy and the Ty stuff, it brought it down for me. It was a little much. But all right, let's head on to episode 3. So, keeping up appearances. Tim is still trying to make his money because I'm not sure if we talked about this, but Shane, so Tim's son, got into an art school. And so he's trying to make some extra money to help pay for the school. So his first attempt was the Buff Burger a couple episodes ago, and now he's trying to make money from a weekend cowboy. So Tim does all sorts of things to make money. He's selling horses, he's taking this guy around, he's basically being like a real estate agent. So what did you think of Tim's attempts to make money?
Yeah, he's so ridiculous in this episode, and he's so like childish as well, like when Lou actually kind of makes strides with the guy and like actually helps him out, like it's to the detriment of Tim, he feels like. Oh, he's so frustrating, but not as frustrating as he's been in the past, so I'll give him a pass for that. But yeah, I thought this episode was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't love the sort of B plot of the oil guy and his wife. I wasn't the biggest fan of that.
Yeah, so we had this oil guy who wants to be a weekend cowboy and his wife, and this really impacts a lot of the family. We have Amy's trying to teach the wife how to ride, mm-hmm. because the wife said she's from a rural area and everything, but the husband, I guess, is under the impression that she knows how to ride a horse. Well, this woman does not know how to ride a horse.
No,
like at all. So Tim sells him Dexter for her to ride, but Dexter is an ex-racehorse who mm-hmm. is way too much for this woman who can hardly ride Copper. So, and we know Copper, he's old, he's slow, he doesn't get around very much. So, yeah. The wife and the husband.
Our attempts to like lie to Amy, mm-hmm. who like has grown up literally on horses, was insane. It's just like, no. It's just this horse, it's just because I don't have the right things. It's like, give it up already. There's no way you can fake being an advanced rider on like a former racehorse. There's like no way. But yeah,
so that was just funny. And then they're trying to find this ranch for them to have on the weekend, and so Tim is carting them all over to get them to look at houses and everything. And once they finally find a house that they like, then we have Lou swoops in. Lou is taking a look at this guy's financials, and she kind of stands up to him and says, "You're the people who are taking care of your financials right now are not willing to stand up to you, but I just am going to tell you this is how it is." And she actually breaks Tim's deal with helping out for the house, finding the house. So both Lou and Amy screw up Tim's business deals in this episode for good reason. But what did you think of Lou and her financial advice?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like, you know, very in character for Lou. When she's in sort of businesswoman mode, she's like full steam ahead. And, you know, if she sees, like, you know, this isn't a good deal financially, I think she says, like, you know, it's a nice house, but there's no land to actually make money off of. You know, she's going to say something. And obviously for Amy, it's a it's safety. You know, she's not going to, like, let this woman ride a horse when she's not able to. So, you know, they're not really to blame. I think this is more just him trying to find a shortcut, as per usual.
Yep. So while all this is going on, we also have Amy and Ty still kind of
awkward.
Awkward, a little bit of a tiff, like, and Ty is trying to study for finals and he is just out of it. So he makes a little bit of a mistake at work, just a little bit. And he tells this poor woman, like, "Oh, here's your dog's ashes," and she's picking him up from, like, what was it supposed to be, like, a simple procedure or something?
He gets nails clipped.
Yeah, I get his nails clipped.
like the second Scott, like, gave him the list and then said, like, ashes, I was like, oh no.
This isn't gonna be good. Yeah, so he mixes up the ashes with the poor dog who got his nails clipped, and Ty is, like, mortified about this. Like, he thinks he's going to be fired. He goes back to Amy. Amy finds this hilarious. And I'm sorry, it is very funny. It's not funny for Ty. Yeah. Not funny for the poor lady who just was terrified.
Not at all.
But it is very funny what he did. And Ty's like, I'm going to be fired. Well, he thinks he's been fired as a veterinary assistant, and he walks into work the next day, and we have a new person. We have introducing Cassandra. So what did you think of Cassandra? Did you think Ty had actually been fired?
I didn't think he'd been fired. I thought they'd maybe brought someone on to take the pressure off of Ty, because Amy had obviously, I thought it was a little crazy that Amy was, like, mad at Scott. You know, his business has really got nothing to do with Amy.
Yeah.
And this is where sort of this show, you know, everything is so sort of intermingled, and, you know, they're all sort of, you know, family or feel like family. So there's a lot of sort of bloodlines. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would not say that to someone. Like, how dare you fire my, like, boyfriend? That's.
And Scott, like, is just so confused at this point as well. Fire him. What?
Scott's been through all of this in terms of what, you know, Ty's dealing with. So if anybody's going to be understanding, it's going to be Scott.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I didn't think he'd lost his job, but I did think that Scott has maybe brought someone on to, like, just help out and take the pressure off.
Yeah. So Cassandra, looking forward to seeing what Cassandra does in the future. So then we have Ty and Amy still being awkward about the proposal. And Ty kind of just tells Amy, like, just let it go.
Yeah.
So hopefully she will. And we'll move on from this for a little bit, from the proposal. What do you think the timeline should be for the proposal? What do you think is, what would you like to see in the future of the season?
Like, if they get engaged?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like it's something that they should maybe put off until he's finished with, like, college. Mm-hmm. Feels like such a crazy thing to, because it would just be like an extended engagement at that point. Mm-hmm. You know, Amy has a job, but, you know, Ty doesn't. Well, sort of part time, and he's doing that to finance his, you know, university. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it just seems, I think just because of like everything we went through with Caleb and Ashley, I'm just a little hesitant.
Yeah.
Wouldn't mind them getting engaged like down the line and then obviously getting married when they're a bit more settled.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Ty's living in like a trailer that's literally falling apart around them. They just seem not in a good place. They do, you know, you do watch this show and you do know that they are sort of like destined to sort of get married and have kids and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it just feels like maybe, I mean, if I want to talk about people getting married, I think it should be Jack and Lisa next. They should get married before Amy and Ty. That's my take.
Yeah. And I mean, they are, like you said, they're so young. They're both in the middle of kind of their own things. And I mean, obviously, I know what happens, but
yeah.
Them waiting a little bit longer, I would have liked to see that.
Yeah.
So then we have Lisa is back from France. Speaking of Lisa, and she has no idea who Georgie is. He is like trying to get Jack's attention, you know, trying to spend some time with him. And around every turn, we have Georgie, something happens at school, all this other stuff. Georgie is everywhere, taking up all of Jack's time. And Lisa's a little bit jealous. So what did you think about that whole situation with Lisa and Jack?
Yeah, I mean, Lisa was a little difficult in this episode, but understandably so. It feels like Jack just withholds random bits of information from her. Like, mm-hmm. This has happened before. But yeah, it feels a little bit like they were just trying to create tension when there really wasn't much there to begin with. Mm-hmm. Like, if it just told Lisa in that first scene who Georgie was then, and Mallory who Georgie was, a lot of things would have been solved a lot quicker. But I feel like this was just sort of, you know, bringing Lisa back in and sort of introducing her to Georgie. Mm-hmm. And I like that it's sort of a little bit, you know, attention there. Because I feel like, you know, it feels like everybody's just sort of welcomed Georgie. And I feel like having a little bit of tension with one of the characters would be a little bit interesting. Not in a bad way, but just a different type of relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I agree with everything you just said. So, but we have, after that, also Mallory's back, and she's back 2 weeks earlier in this episode. And she is so lost. It's like everyone just kind of brushes her off and ignores her, and it just keeps walking away when she's asking a question, or pawns off Katie on her. For babysitting, and like Mallory genuinely has no clue what's going on with this Georgie. She has no clue who she is. No one will stop and take the time to like just like 5 minutes, like, hey, she's a foster child who is staying here, like, not a simple explanation. And so she's Mallory's a little bit upset, and she goes off on Jack, or not Jack, and she sees Jake again. Sorry, I was thinking about Jake. but Mallory is seeing Jake again. And, you know, Jake kind of blows her off a little bit as well. What do you think about the whole Mallory and Jake situation?
Yeah, I'm not really sure in terms of, like, what I want. I want them to be a bit more clear on what's going on with them in terms of, like, are they together? Or are they just like, cause it feels like they make a little bit of headway, but then they always sort of revert back to like friends or, you know, their kids. So it's hard to kind of say what you want to happen with a storyline. Mm-hmm. And obviously with Mallory sort of bouncing around between her place in Heartland and then going to Nashville, I feel like you should just have some time with those characters instead of having these external people, you know, sort of messing it up.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like just to create that drama. We're just sort of back again. This is sort of, you know, a bit of a loop around back where we were, you know, maybe last season or the season before.
Yeah. So then they try to throw this surprise dinner for Mallory, and Tim totally ruins it. Like, it's like everyone is in the kitchen arguing when Mallory walks in, pretty much. So they tried, not really, but they tried to do something special for Mallory.
Yeah, if anyone was going to ruin it, it was going to be Tim, so.
Exactly. So that was the episode. What would you rate this one?
I would give it like a 7.5.
Yeah. I agree, 7.5 as well. I really like this episode. I just like that Mallory's back. And
yeah, she's so different from the previous season. She looks so grown up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, at this point, trying to think, how old would she be?
16, 17?
Yeah, probably. I mean, she's about to finish high school, so yeah, because I know, gosh, Amy's like 20. Ty's like 22, so yeah, 16, 17-ish. But yeah, she does look so grown up in this season, coming back. So that is it for these episodes. Let us know what you thought in the comments down below and what you think will happen in the future of the season. Do you want, everyone tell us in the comments, do you want Ty and Amy to get engaged? Yes or no? Soon or not soon? What did you think though, Michelle, of these three episodes as the opening to the season?
Yeah, I really liked them. I thought the second episode was the strongest. And I feel like we've set up a lot for the season going forward. Mm-hmm. A lot of potential.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. All right. So let us know what you think in the comments, and we will see you all next week for another episode of Heartland. Thank you so much for listening or watching. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and subscribe or subscribe on iTunes. You can find us all across all podcasting apps at Hallmarkies Podcast or Hallmarkies Pod on Twitter and Instagram. We have a Patreon if you'd like to support us over there. All of the links will be in the description below. Michelle, thank you for talking Heartland with me today.
Oh, not a problem. I loved it.
Yeah, and we will see you all next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.